The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
Common sense. Comedy. Common sense.
This is the collision.
Collision.
Of common sense, and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
All right, this is brainstorming here. Just brainstorming. Just coming up with ideas, kind of spitballing here. Just give me some ideas on how a school might help kids be more successful. Just give me some ideas. Let's throw them out there. Hey, what could the school do to help kid be more successful? Brad Staggs, something. Give me anything out there. How about you turn the mic on, Cal?
The mic is on.
There we go. No, it says something.
How about some better counseling?
Oh, this seems like it, whatever. How about trying that mic?
How about some better computers?
Counseling?
Better computer equipment. What'd you say? Counseling. Give me something, Cal. It's just something to help kids succeed in life. What are you going to do there?
Educational programs that after school.
Okay, after school. You're heard of that.
Crafts, arts and crafts.
Beginning in 2020, Chicago high school seniors are going to have to prove that they have a government-approved post-graduation plan in order to get their diploma.
A what?
So they're going to have to prove that they have a government-approved post-graduation plan.
So like a goals, we set up your goals approved by the government?
Grief. Yes, exactly. And there's a limited list. So you go, okay, I've completed all my coursework. I may even be valedictorian of my school. Okay. And the whole thing laid out there. And they're like, okay, so what are you going to do after school? And you go, hey, I'm going to go do that. That's not on our list. Sorry, you can't graduate.
Oh, wow.
So I can't be a bum?
No, that's it. Let me see. No, absolutely.
Can I be a stay-at-home dad?
No, that's not one of them. No. Rahm Emanuel, the mayor says the goal is to help kids have a plan because they're going to need it to succeed.
Oh,
on whose definition to succeed?
This is
Rahm Emanuel's.
Because my decision to succeed could be different than his definition to succeed. Uh-huh. What if I just want to be a hamburger flipper?
No, because that's not going to help you be successful, according to Rahm Emanuel.
Okay.
They're pushing for $15 an hour, so I think it is going to actually work out if you want to be a hamburger flipper.
I mean, I would think that 75% of kids have no idea what they want to be when they leave high school.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
You thought you were going to do in high school?
I knew it. Well, yeah, I knew actually what I wanted to do in sixth grade. So, yes, I'm one of the few.
He didn't do it. Instead, he ended up in radio. He said they're going to force students to choose from one of five government-approved options. Here are the five approved government options.
All right, shoot me up.
Okay, now you will not be able to get your diploma, they say, unless
you have
one of these five approved government options. Number one, college attendance.
Okay.
And by the way, you can't just go, I'm going to college. You have to show them proof that you have been accepted and you have a plan. Okay.
All right.
Military service. You're going in the service. Okay.
I agree on that one. Right. I like that one.
Right. Yeah. A trade apprenticeship.
Okay.
So you're going to be an electrician or something. You have to, here you go. You know, because that's apprenticeship program. A job. Or the fifth option, a gap year program.
A what program?
Gap year,
the one we take a year off.
What's a gap?
You know what a gap year is?
No, I know. I mean, what's a gap year program? I mean,
I know. What's the okay? So it says a gap year program. So does that mean you absolutely have to have a structured gap year,
like the Peace Corps or something?
You know, I've decided to take a year off. Okay, well, the way you will take a year off. No, I'm just not going to do anything. Yes, we know, but here's the way you will not.
Wow.
So I'm going to take a year and backpack through Europe.
Okay.
Well, here's how you're going to do it.
I'm sorry, that's not part of our program. That's not an official gap year program.
Wow.
Right?
Chicago?
Yeah, so if they have a gap year program, does somebody have to broker that and explain what a gap year can should not be?
Wow.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, that seems like a failure to me. So,
this is real?
Yeah. So, first of all, the government is telling kids You won't be able to graduate unless we approve of your future.
So how many of them are going to go, okay, screw you, I'm just not going to graduate and walk
right.
away?
So that's the first thing, right? I mean, so you're just going to have fewer kids that may not get their diploma. Now, this is according to the story that
this has nothing to do with grades. Like, let's say you're straight A's and you're awesome, blah, 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 but you don't know what you want
to
do.
You've got to have one of these approved future options. So you're right. What you're doing is potentially setting up that there were kids that will fall between the cracks.
Yep.
Then it has to, which is a huge failure. Then the government has to approve it.
That's
crazy. Who the hell's the government?
Yes, that's crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, who the hell are you?
And then the thing about it too that kind of like makes me all nervous is the whole, my definition of success is very different than your definition of success.
And isn't that supposed to be the beauty of America? That's the whole damn point. So number one, the system could end up having more kids not graduate is really what you're not going to have more kids graduate. You may have the same and likely will have some that not. So this was number two. Who the hell is the government saying? Number three, the list of programs they have includes a gap year, which isn't that the whole point to have kids have a future? You don't want them to do nothing, but it has to be a government approved do nothing program.
Then what happens?
Oh, okay, I'm on year two. That's not part of the gap year program, so you don't get your diploma. Is that it? Then, according to the official description, they say they're trying to raise $1 million for career counseling. So in order to do this, they need $1 million for counselors. Excuse me, don't most schools have guidance counselors anyways? Looking back now, they didn't do a damn thing, as evident by my career. I'm serious. You know what they did for us? If you had a question about your schedule, hey, how come, you know, I'm not on, it says here I'm in the math class, the teacher, I'm not on the list. I'll send in this note, you're in the class.
Yeah.
That was it. That's all they did. So, but you need $1 million. Then, as it turns out, when the media kept questioning them on this, going, how's this work? This all these questions that we have, the chief education officer, Janice Jackson.
Wait a minute. Did you say Janet Jackson?
No, Janice Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Jackson.
The chief.
Yes. Janet's cousin.
Yes.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
She's... What have you done for me lately? She is the chief education officer. When they kept asking her about it, she said, well, no student's actually going to be denied their diploma for missing the requirement.
Of course.
So this is
of
all
course.
It doesn't matter anyway. So you went through all of this crap. I mean, failure after failure after failure, and then it doesn't have any teeth anyways.
It's meaningless.
So they said, well, so what's the point? And she said, well, faculty will be seeking out any student who hasn't completed this requirement, which isn't really a requirement, and will be
strongly wording a memo to them,
pressuring them to figure it out before graduation. So their plan is to badger kids.
Yes, that works out well.
Nagging kids is really, really effective. Ask their parents,
especially teenagers.
Right. Nag them about something, because as soon as I realize that this doesn't have any teeth, I'd be like, yeah, okay. I'd be messing with them like crazy. So this is what they're doing. Remember, Rahm Emanuel said, the goal is to help kids have a plan because they're going to need it to succeed. The ironic thing is, they don't have a plan on how to help the kids succeed with their supposed plan.
Right.
Sounds like it's going to turn out really well.
Yeah. When I read stories like this, it makes me feel much better about our company.
Yes.
Because I go, wow. Yep. Wow, that's amazing. I mean, you got Roku that doesn't work from time to time, and we're frustrated and different things.
Disconnected.
And things get disconnected, whatever. And then you're like, wow, you know what? I feel so much better.
Uh-huh.
Wow, it could be worse.
Yeah, it's like when I think about people with foot fetishes, I realize I'm normal.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, just your elbow fetish.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's like nothing. I'd much rather have an elbow fetish.
You weren't really supposed to tell anybody about that.
Are we still on the air? I thought I went to a break.
Probably not.
You got to remember, you have to say the morning blaze.
Oh, okay. And then, we do that now. The morning. Then, we'll be back in a minute.
Yeah. Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network. With Doc Thompson.
Get the tweets in with the hashtag what I learned today. Hashtag what I learned today. It's at the Blaze Brad for Brad Sags, at Real Chris Cruz, at Cal79, and at Doc Thompson Show. Please follow us all if you would. Going to tell you about Relief Factor. It's a product that was designed specifically to help alleviate different forms of inflammation in your body, different parts. And as you probably know, inflammation is one of the chief causes of pain in the body. But unfortunately, if you have pain, you know somebody that has suffered pain over many years. It's usually just masked, blocked somehow. Well, the great folks at Relief Factor, by setting up their product and telling us about it, have managed to help all kinds of people. We've gotten emails and calls constantly, people in-house, out-of-house, tell us what a great product is and how much it's worked. Yeah, there's a couple people that say, yeah, it didn't work for me. But for the most part, it has worked for the people we've told them about. Try it today.
Did you follow the directions?
Yeah, well, there's always that, too.
Yeah.
It didn't work. I bought it, and it's on the shelf.
I know a lot more than say it worked.
I've been rubbing it all over my body. That's not the proper application. But try it today, and please tell other people about it, because, in fact, we just got an email this morning about how successful it's been, how many people have tried it and been happy. So if you would, please tell people about it. Just go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com. All right, so Brad has managed to pull up a list of gap year programs.
Yeah.
These are official gap year programs. Uh-huh. These aren't... Okay.
This is...
what do you got?
I mean, I'm going back to high school. see, there's Dynamy. That's
Dynamy,
an internship
what?
Year. It's the oldest and only residential internship program in the country.
What's it for? Doing what,
well,
though?
Let's just see. It's got a great name, I think, at least.
I know. I'm like, Dynamy, what is that? Is that some slang term, or is that
let's
a...
Let's see here. It's located in Worcester, Massachusetts. Dynamy Internship Year integrates full-time mentored internships in over 240 organizations with urban and backcountry leadership experiences, which means you get to go hiking. Personal and college career advising, city apartment living, optional college seminars, and the company of a remarkable group of peers.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. I think that's what it is.
My favorite, though, I think, is the... Thinking Beyond Borders. That one is it's a gap year program specifically designed for students who are passionate about learning and are eager to create meaningful social changes in the world. We combine deep cultural immersion, working with inspiring local leaders, and engaging readings and discussions to create an exciting, supportive, and transformational learning environment.
Do you see the pictures? Look at this. They're all like on mountaintops and at the beach. This is the Dynamy. Look at this.
Oh, man.
Okay, I got to tell you, when I'm reading through this list here, this is not going to help our relationships around work in the future.
Carpe diem program.
As more and more people graduate and join our various companies, knowing that this is their experience and them having this is not going to help our relationships. It's going to make me older and saltier.
Oh, man.
Then I'm like, your life is pretty bad around here? Really? You just had a gap year program, went to college, and studied all of this crap while the rest of us were here actually working, and you're going to come in and, what, be upset somehow or
Australia,
something?
Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji I can go to.
Okay, so vacation, that's part of your plan. Your future plan is vacation.
Yes. I'm thinking this is a great program now.
Okay.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to
This
Fiji.
Is the gap year.
Yeah.
Thinking Beyond Borders program.
Thinking Beyond Borders?
That's what it says.
You know, I'm thinking take beyond a year borders off and just kind of sit and
think.
But what kind of thinking
are you going to do?
It's not going to be just, you know, in the borders of my city. No,
okay.
I'm going to go beyond borders. You know what? I'm going to say it's going to go beyond borders of my state and probably country.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
Because you were probably thinking that I'm going to sit there and think, maybe I'll go down and get a coffee.
Yeah, or
head down to run over to the store. Yeah. No. I'm going to think beyond. I'm not going to go beyond borders.
Wow.
I'm going to think
this sounds like such BS.
Beyond the borders.
It says, thinking beyond borders gap year programs are specifically designed for students who are passionate about learning and are eager to create meaningful social change in the world. We combine deep cultural immersion, working with inspiring local leaders, and engaging readings and discussions to create an exciting, supportive, and transformational learning environment.
I just read that.
He did not read that.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, I thought that's what Brad just read.
They're all the same.
The International School for Earth Studies.
Oh,
it encourages students
one.
To explore, develop, and nurture the seeds of greatness which exist within every individual for a responsible and sustainable environmental stewardship.
You know how they run commercials for stuff like this, and they got the guy who's like, join us in Thinking Without Borders program. You too, after college, can have a gap year, an official gap year approved as part of the gap year program. And then they show, like, you got the testimonial of the kid, and you get out there, hi.
I thought
with Beyond Borders, too, and you can too. Join us for our official gap year Thinking Beyond Borders program. I too thought about New Australia.
On the border has great taquitos. I am on the border program.
I kind of thought beyond the border when I made a run for the border and got the chalupa.
All right. Here's what I'm doing. Ocean Passages offers traditional hands-on sailing in the spectacular marine environments of southern Cuba.
This is worse than the crap Cal tries to put out there with his app of the week. And they tell us what it is, and you're like, it's just something else.
How dare you compare my apps to this nonsense?
I'm going on the Ocean Passages gap year program.
So it's a cruise?
Yes, pretty much. The southern end of Cuba.
Wow. Join us for the animated mouse gap year program.
Learn how socialism is wonderful.
You're going to heading to Florida for a weekend.
No sailing experience is needed, but team spirit is essential.
Oh, do you have team spirit? I have team spirit.
You smell like team spirit this morning. I know that. Wow.
Together with your shipmates, you'll explore breathtaking caves.
Do you see what's going on here? What's going on here is people have put this stuff together. Entrepreneurs have put this together, and they're selling to parents and schools to make cash. It's just tourism. That's all it is. We just need to come up with some sort of system.
Well, we do have
I've got it. As part of our official gap year program.
Okay.
The radio experience.
There's the radio experience.
The retro 70s experience.
That's right. You too can help Jeffy have his stomach pumped once a morning. We can do the radio experience. No, I was thinking this. How about the fire festival gap year?
Oh.
Right?
I like that.
You put the little bastards to work. Uh-huh. It's like a working dude ranch, right? It sounds like you're doing something, but you're just not paying them for it.
Go build the stage. We're going to have a great concert as soon as you're done.
Join us for our female studies gap year program.
I'm in.
Right, exactly. You just
study them.
Hooking people up, right?
Here's a BSer. The
because the rest of these are good.
No, at least the other ones have actual specific targets. Okay. This one, the En-Route Consulting Program. En-Route Consulting creates customized itineraries for students who are looking for a meaningful, rewarding gap year. Which means basically do whatever you want. That's
so
what it sounds like.
So basically they are like those party planners for gap years?
So you're these are the nerds. They can't even actually go on vacation. They want to help the other kids go on vacation.
Director Julia Rogers offers a personalized supportive approach in connecting young people with vetted opportunities.
The people who set these up needed people to actually do the work for them. So they managed to actually, it's not enough. They couldn't hire people. They actually have these. Okay.
Hey guys, we have this great program. We tell what other people in gap years.
Oh, so I get to work for free?
Yes.
Oh, well, that sounds fantastic.
Yes.
It's amazing.
So that'll be your gap year.
You know what this is? This is the
brilliant.
Movie. Brilliant. It's the movie Accepted. Was it Accepted? Where the kid creates the fake school because he didn't get into one.
Yes, yes.
And Southampton Institute of Technology, which spells out Southampton. Was that the one?
Yes, yes.
And the kids just, no, we let them write their own courses. Just write it on the board.
Yep. Wow. And by the end, hey, by the end, what happens?
And this makes perfect sense why they keep pushing college and this stuff. It's big money, number one, and it's going to brainwash them. This is it.
Oh, the High Mountain Institute.
I mean,
you get high in a mountain somewhere?
Sure.
Join us in Colorado.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
We could all go under and drown. Yeah, the future depends on us. So we gotta wake up, gotta shake it up now. And let's make America great again. We can come back twice as strong.
Make America great again. That singer Joy Villa with her new song. And it is really hitting big. Oh, holy moly.
It's hitting like all the charts.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I mean, right as it was released, it hit at number three. I think it's up to number one now on iTunes and Amazon, 12 on Billboard. Joy, how are you?
Hi. I'm doing so great. Thanks for rocking my song.
No, man, you crushed it with that now. I mean, you are just rolling in the dough. You got the cash coming in. You're going to...
crying cash.
Well, so earlier we were discussing how now it's official where kids have these gap year programs after college, Joy, and it's just vacations. And then the city of Chicago says that you cannot get your diploma unless the government tells you that your future plans are okay. They give them one of five plans. You can either do this or this. Yeah.
Yep. No.
Isn't that crazy?
No, this is like 1984, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, think about this. So they say you either have to have a job and tell them what it is or go to college or whatever. But let's say you're a singer, you're a musician, and you decided this is your passion and you're going to hit the road. You're going to play all the clubs. You're going to go out there and try to make it, which a lot of people have done. That wouldn't be on the list, Joy.
Oh my gosh! I would not want to live in that place. What city is this?
That's Chicago.
Yeah. I'd have to move from Chicago because it would just be too suppressive and too
right
crazy. I can't believe that. That's
one
ridiculous.
Of the foundations so of America do? Is you deciding what you want to do, figuring it out, self determination.
Yeah. That's part of growing up. That's part of living. Is you figure out, and you know what? Studies are showing that people don't just have one cohesive career anymore. We don't just inherit what our parents did. We actually have like four or five careers over our lifetime. Mm-hmm. We're always changing.
You're absolutely right. And some of them are showing now that is in the very near future, a lot of people have multiple careers where it's not going to be your primary source of income is from one place. It'll be spread out two or three.
It's the gig economy.
Yeah.
Mm. It's the way to do it. Be an entrepreneur. Work for yourself.
Well, there's the other part. So aside from being an artist, let's say you decide you want to open a business. So you go out there and struggle and you're doing whatever. Nope, that wouldn't classify. This is the craziness that we live in. This is our times.
Insane. And actually, I have to say, as an artist, I actually have already opened my own business because I am my own business. Joy Villa Productions, Inc. I'm an incorporated.
Now, how'd you come up with that name?
Yeah, did you focus group that?
How did the test market work on that one?
What name are we going to be?
Well, it's not only you. You got Kaya, she has her own business. You got the guy that made your dress. He has his own fashion and clothing. So all these people...
Well, and smart people, smart artists recognize, too, that even if you don't, you know, start selling merchandise or produce other people, whatever it's going to be, your brand is still a business. Your name and right?
Big time. Your brand is your business and you are your business as an entertainer. I mean, I have the business of where I perform, right? The certain things that only I can do and I write and I perform and then I have and my music and then I have my merchandise, right? Like my t-shirts, bracelets, things like that. So you really have to think of yourself as when you become an artist, you're starting your own business. And a lot of artists don't think like that.
No.
But small businesses know, okay, there's a huge chance of failure. We're going to have to work this out. We have to keep records. We have to, you know, get our financials right. We have to hire some staff. But if artists thought like small business people, then there'd be a lot more success, because that's
exactly
truly how you have to run your career.
And really, that's if Chicago wanted to help the kids, because the mayor says, you know, it's about them being more successful in life. You would teach them those lessons. Number one, self-determination and then self-reliance. I mean, these are you know, the way to think about it.
Competence. Teach them, okay, now you choose what you're going to do. Now you have to be competent in what you do. So if you can, I think you should be able to like showcase some skill, like if you're in school, in what you want to do, but it shouldn't be like, oh no, you can't do that.
Right.
It's like, well, what if I'm good at it? Like,
right.
I'm good at doing what I love to do.
They'll be the judge of that.
So Joy, what else are you up to? So you got the song, are you doing the tour thing? You heading anywhere fun?
Well, I've got the song. I'm working on the rest of my album right now. So that's going to be the next step. And then lots of music. I'm writing a book. I'm currently writing a book. I'm actually writing two books. And I'm always doing a ton of stuff. And then I have some film opportunities and some other, you know, always press are along the way. So I think I'm going to definitely do some live shows towards the end of the year. But once I finish my album, then I'll be touring with it. And then I'll announce it.
Any chances we could get you to come to Dallas?
Oh my gosh, yes, actually. I'll be in Texas in November.
Oh, what about November, early or late?
Probably, we're still looking at the dates now, probably like mid-November, like around the 14th.
I'm here.
Oh.
No, we're hatching a couple of snake egg schemes here.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe an acoustic performance at the Mercury
Studio.
Really?
Wow, what are you, Cal? Letting the cat out of the bag?
I'm just throwing out some ideas.
Let it out. Let that cat out.
All right, Joy, where can people get your new song, Make America Great Again?
They can get it on iTunes and Amazon, and you can also find out more about me and find some autographed copies of my album at joyvilla.com.
All right, what we'll do is we'll tweet out a link to your Twitter and other social media, and also to the links so people can pick up the song, too.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, Joy, you have a good day, okay?
Yeah, I want to see you guys in Texas. I'll
hopefully
be there.
Now hopefully we're putting it together. That's on tape. We got our. I think that's a verbal contract.
Get it together, you guys.
All right, Joy. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Good stuff. That is a good point. When we were talking about it, making fun of Chicago, I hadn't thought about. It's first of all wrong to tell people whatever, and maybe you don't want to do anything, and that's your right as long as you're not sponging off of me. But what about the artist that wants to hit the road, or the entrepreneur that says, my path is a very unconventional one, and I'm okay with, nearly starving.
Right.
You know, the artists that say, okay, I'll just town to town, I'll just try to make it, I'm a comedian, whatever. Or the entrepreneur that says, I'm just going to go out and sell trinkets on the street or something.
How about offering them counseling on how to choose the right manager? Because generally, artists don't have the other, I mean, there are exceptions, but generally the creative type don't have the business skills. There are some, again, exceptions. But how about, okay, here's what you're going to need as an entertainer. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to choose the right people to surround you so you don't end up with the Britney Spears syndrome of, your manager and your parents take all your money.
Or like a business management class. If you want to open a business, learn how to run it.
Can help you.
Think about it. So a lot of people in offices, you go in your office, people complain about the millennials, which I think they get a bum rap because when you look at the crap the millennials have had to deal with, they're doing pretty damn good. When you look at the waters that they've had to navigate, where they know it's bull crap, they know the trophy, everyone gets a trophy, and all of the stuff, and the political correctness, and the safe spaces, they know that's crap. They may not know how to get out of it, but they know it's crap, yet they're stuck with it. So we've given that to them. We've said, by the way, you must go to college or take a gap year, and you're going to end up with huge amounts of debt. You're not going to make as much as everybody else. You're going to have the same societal and family pressures. You've got all of this. And you look at what they've ended up doing. They have prioritized. They say, I'm not going to buy a house then, or I'm not going to do this. I still want some nice things in life, so I'll spend my money there.
Right.
So when you look at it, they've done a good job. But for those of you that are critical of them and you don't like it, even if you're not blaming them, you're like, well, I just don't like the, you know, society, and they come into work and we're changing. Okay, guess what that's from? That's from school and parenting.
Right.
It's how that generation was raised. What started it? Crap like Rahm Emanuel's program.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having a school that says, okay, listen, you're gonna have to figure this crap out because there's not going to be anybody to pick it up for you.
It only gets harder from here.
It only gets harder. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you some skills here. But when you get out, you're a brand. It always has been. We never looked at it that way back in the day. But it's not just you going out and getting a job. You have skills. You have a brand. You have an opportunity. But it's you. So what are you going to do with it? Do you have a strong back? You don't mind digging ditches? Good. Right. If you don't have a strong back or you do mind it, you're going to run into some troubles here.
Uh-huh.
So let's come up with another plan. And then start inspiring them. You know, I rarely, even in my generation, heard about entrepreneurs. I mean, you would hear about some great inventors.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, Eli Whitney with the cotton gin. I knew he made the cotton gin. I didn't know what a cotton gin was. I thought it was something you drank. I thought it was a mixed drink you drank with fancy people at horse races. Would you like a cotton gin?
Wait, you don't?
I thought it was something you paid a hooker for. Would you like a cotton gin? That's extra.
Only after midnight.
How much for the cotton gin?
Right. I didn't know the story of Eli Whitney. It's an amazing story, and how his being screwed out of his patent rights for the cotton gin because people just stole it from him, mm-hmm, forced him to basically slicker Congress into giving him government contracts in order to come up with interchangeable parts for guns, which he never did. I mean, it's a complete failure. But then because of that, people got the idea and really pushed the idea of interchangeable parts, which led to eventually the manufacturing boom in America. I never learned any of that stuff back then. I knew who Thomas Edison was. What with the light bulb? I didn't realize how he ended up with a whole farm of younger inventors and scientists so he could end up capitalizing off of the stuff they invented.
Mm-hmm. And the battle with Tesla.
And monopolizing the market.
Yeah, Tesla and...
And the elephant.
And the elephant and frying the animals and elephants on the street. All of this stuff. I never learned about that.
Huh. They whitewashed history.
It's
sanitized it.
But what's weird is it was done... I understand now when you say they're doing it for political correctness and agenda. Why wouldn't you tell kids stuff like that? First of all, it's interesting. It's going to be engaging.
Well, it's the whole... Who was it that said the office of the vice president isn't worth a warm pitcher? And originally, I think he said... They sanitized it to be a warm pitcher of spit. And it wasn't that. It was a warm pitcher of something else warm that comes out of you.
Okay.
Oh! Yes, when you're peeing.
Hmm.
But anyway, they never...
it might have been Spiro Agnew.
It could have been.
Maybe, I was thinking.
But they always sanitize things like that. And I don't know if
they... That's always so eloquent.
You're welcome.
It was a vice president of the United States, right?
I think
so. It wasn't a vice president in this company.
It may have been.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay, I just want to make sure. Wow. If only they taught kids to be entrepreneurs, we'd have more stuff like Earthwater, because that's the story of Earthwater.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked with the people who put it together. And
CJ and Cash.
Yeah, it is about their idea to come up with a water that's actually better for you. Tastes just like water, but it's black because it has 70 trace minerals, stuff your body needs, which ends up really helping you out. With Earthwater, you can boost your energy levels, help rebuild your immune system, reduce your stress level, improve your memory and focus, help remove toxins from your body, help maintain healthy skin, nails, and hair, all because your body needs these trace minerals. It tastes like water. Uh-huh. It has no flavor, yet it's dark like cola or coffee. It's very bizarre. But it's pretty cool when people are like, what are you drinking? Is that a... No, it's water. No, seriously?
Conversation starter.
Yeah, and every time they drink
it. By the way, CJ, I don't know if he's the founder or co-founder, but he looked amazing.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
And he's no spring chicken. I mean, no offense to CJ.
No, you would never know that he's 104.
He looked like...
You never know.
He almost looked shiny.
He did.
Like his skin radiated.
Well, I don't think they will like...
Are you crushing on him?
He was glowing.
It's okay if you like. Yeah. You got a man crushing.
No,
it's okay if you like, man.
It's all right.
The earth water is that good.
It really is.
I'm trying to get myself to glow. That's why I drink it.
Makes you like other men?
I think I don't know if they want to go with that marketing tool.
Wow. Took it a whole different way. Try it today. It's at earthwater.com/theblaze. In fact, if you use the promo code theblaze after you go there, you'll also get 10% off their already reduced prices. earthwater.com/theblaze and then promo code theblaze. It's earthwater.
Check it out.
You're waking up to the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Just hours ago, the running of the bulls in Spain. Would you guys ever run with the bulls?
Oh, hell yes.
I get a head start.
A really big
four
one.
Blocks.
Three people were gored this year.
Yes.
I got to tell you, I think I would still do it.
Do you want to know the breakdown of those three?
What's that?
Two Americans, one Spaniard.
Oh, of course, yeah. That's slow Americans. That's what it is. Yeah, Americans, you shouldn't be doing that. Just see, most should not. But you know what? That's nothing compared to what happens in Australia.
Welcome back to the Running of the Sheep, live from Sydney, Australia. As you know, last year, Melvin Ampeth from Wagga Wagga took home the trophy in a nasty rush after finishing first, as Mrs. Ampeth says he does most of the time. And there's the whistle, and here come the sheep. Two uglies. Oh, here comes the pretty one now. Melvin's out in the lead again. But, he's kicked in the whatnot by an Asian Mufon. That'll leave a mark. Well, that's one way to say not you. Get it? You. Hey. But wait, he's got one. I'm just glad he wasn't afraid to go ugly early. Now they're having a pint and, he shoots, he scores! Now back to you in the studio. Goodbye.
Wow, that's, sounds exciting. Would you ever run with the sheep?
Oh, if it's those cheeps,
it's a softer landing. Listen to this. Hospital officials said the two men from the United States had been gored as well during their run, but their injuries in the abdomen for a 35-year-old man and in the scrotum for a 29-year-old were not considered serious.
Right in the what?
No, they're considered serious when they get you there.
There's a lot of people. Well, think about it. How they gore you. They put their head down and kind of bump up. So there's
It's only 850 meters.
With a bull chasing you.
It's just under 3 minutes.
With a bull chasing
you. At an average speed.
Okay, let me ask you this. Even though you may be gored, what if it was being Al gored? Does that make it worse? Gored right in the scrotum.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.
Sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Now I get the tweets in at Doc Thompson Show. The hashtag, what I learned today. Oh, you need to have a government approved graduation plan. Hashtag smart people don't say from yesterday.
Kathy in the Berg said being Al Gore means full of hot air and boring.
You know, I just realized, though, too, about that. We're talking about Chicago schools controlling you that much or whatever. What's going on in England right now?
Oh, yeah, with the baby.
With the baby.
Baby Charlie.
When are you guys going to sit back and realize the government knows best? I mean,
they
why
really
do you
do.
Fight it?
I like this one. Stephen English, what I learned tonight. Apparently, Bob from Playboy landed us a gig at the Chicago school system.
Likely. All right, let's get a look at the headline. Joining us now, Lex Jurgen. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Congratulations. We survived the 4th of July here in Hollywood.
I know. That's a shock, right?
It's a tough holiday here in Hollywood because we hate America and we hate Britain.
West side.
You got nowhere to go, right?
Nobody knew who to root for. Just want to make sure they lost enough weight to look good in the red, white, and blue bikini. Most importantly of all, speaking of looking good in bikinis, I don't know if you saw the story that Emily Ratajkowski, the very attractive young actress whose name we all learned how to pronounce the last 5 years.
Right.
She claims that she can't work in Hollywood because her breasts are too nice.
She's persecuted against.
She's persecuted because women with beautiful breasts are persecuted in Hollywood.
I like how he says beautiful breasts.
Yeah. No, I know.
Well, I'm trying to keep it family friendly in the morning here.
That's the class of actresses that don't get work in Hollywood. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So you know how difficult it is when you have a great body as a woman?
So difficult.
So oppressive.
It makes you feel sorry.
All I want to do is hear your monologue. Of course, the only reason that we know that she has beautiful breasts is because she spent 4 years as a topless model.
Stop putting her in a box, Lex.
That's right. I know, right? She does not want to be identified as a big-breasted lady, okay?
That's right.
Beautiful breasts, yes. You know, producers in Hollywood just don't like those attractive young ladies on their couches.
By the way, I'm a fan of those first 4 years. Oh, I celebrate her entire catalog.
Yeah, you're right. The producers are sitting around going, all right, listen, I want you to get rid of all of those attractive women. The women with the big breasts, get rid of them.
Yeah.
We want small-chested, ugly broads. That's what we want. That's big. That's the wave of the future.
That's what sells.
It's the future.
Well, I thought you made no sense, and then I realized maybe it was a feminist statement because so many positions in Hollywood are being taken by women now. Maybe they're being catty, and maybe she is not getting callbacks for positions because they're jealous of her.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what? You got what you've been asking for.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, this is horrible. This is a horrible model. I don't like it
anymore. Who put all these women in charge?
That's right.
Exactly. If you guys remember about 3 years ago, Brandi Glanville went on Watch What Happens Live and said that her fellow castmate on the Housewives show, Joanna Krupa, had a smelly vagina.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
What? Yes, she used some different words I can't use.
Oh.
Another persecuted class.
Another persecuted class. And Joanna Krupa sued her and said, you can't say that about my private parts.
I do remember that. Yes.
And actually, everyone said, this is crazy, whatever, it's funny. But now it's gone to court. And Brandi Glanville defended herself by saying, this is exactly what the Housewives show is about, making fun of each other's private parts. How can you sue me for that?
I can only imagine the court transcript. Your Honor, she said my vagina smells.
All right, we now call to the stand expert witness number one. Character reference
about
two.
Fish, so yeah,
you were in the room. Just how smelly was it? Tell us.
Was it Fukujoto, radiated fish?
Yeah.
Poor girl, you know, it's really sad when someone makes fun of your private parts.
Wow, but you know what? That is kind of what those shows are. Yeah. I mean, just guttural.
She slept with my boyfriend.
Right, I mean, but now somebody went too far now.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the line you cross, yeah.
Right.
Brandi Glanville says in their Bravo contract, it says you can say whatever the hell you want about each other because that's the point of the entire show is getting drunk and making catty comments.
You're right. Now you're just taking it too far, though. Sorry.
Well, actually, that's a point. If they didn't do that, they'd be in breach of contract. So
that was damned
if you knew, they'd be in breach.
They'd be in breach.
Hey-o.
Into the breach. Thanks.
That's another negative comment. So I don't know if you guys saw it in the Bachelor Paradise. I'm sure you guys are big Bachelor fans.
Oh, yeah. So
it's on tonight, isn't it?
We watch all the episodes and seasons.
Yeah, the best way to find a quality man is to get yourself down to Mexico and get wasted.
That's where the high is.
I'm getting married.
I'm writing that one down.
So they shut down Warner Brothers. NBC shut down production after that Corinne Olympios softly accused The Bachelor of sexual assault in a hot tub.
Uh-huh.
When it claims that she was too intoxicated to give consent. Poor guy. She says she was just opening an investigation into the rape, not accusing anybody of rape.
Oh, well, clear distinction there.
Mm-hmm. Very odd thing. So Warner Bros. Came back and said, we're imposing some new rules. From now on, nobody drinks till 12. two cocktails per hour. And nobody goes in the pool till 4 o'clock.
Oh, well, that ought to clean it up.
Oh, yeah, you mean
really.
Noon?
That's like a motel rule at spring break.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow, that makes it so much better. And sure. By the way, you're only able to be on meth 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
So by 4 o'clock, everyone's had 8 cocktails in the hot tub having sex.
Yeah.
And they confirmed people came back from Mexico filming. By the way, calling something anything in Mexico paradise.
Yeah, that's a stretch. I'm sorry, but that's a real stretch.
Seems to be a push. I was just reading headlines in Acapulco this morning. Not exactly where you want to go for a holiday.
Yeah, I feel like paradise is a low threshold to get over in Mexico.
Yes, if you told your girl you're taking her to paradise, she would not think Mexico. Really sad. Lena Dunham. I don't know. Who doesn't love Lena Dunham?
Oh man,
she's really a sweetheart.
She's so
Turns
big.
Out she dumped her rescue dog. She called rehoming her rescue dog.
Rehoming.
Yeah. There's a nice name for everything. That's what my parents said they did to my fish.
And Lassie also got rehomed from
that. Yeah, rehomed. That's what they said. Your goldfish is going to meet his family back in the ocean.
It's going to join Dory and Finding Nemo.
So wait, she had an Instagram account for her dog for several years, and it only got up to 17,000, and she got frustrated, so she rehomed the dog. Yeah, right. I mean, hey, if your rescue dog is not cutting on Instagram.
Wow. Is that the new standard now?
Yeah.
If your dog doesn't get 20,000 followers, you get a new dog?
Yes. Well, it turns out they did a little study, and more men were pleasuring themselves to the dog than Lena Dunham. Oh!
That sounds about right.
Wow!
So maybe the reason she got rid of Lammy.
So my question is, when the dog is rehomed, does it get a therapy animal? Tell me.
May very well.
Show me on this stuffed animal of Scooby-Doo where she touched you.
She claimed the dog was biting everybody in her house. And to prove that fact, she posted a photo on Instagram of her behind in her underwear bloody.
Oh, are we sure that was the dog?
Yeah,
that's what everybody's thinking. There's no dog that savage.
Wow.
There's no dog that is willing to bite her.
That's right.
Really, really horrible. Rob Kardashian, everyone here is really feeling bad for Rob Kardashian.
Hollywood.
Oh, yes. Can you imagine being the only male, living male in that family?
Bruce, so never mind.
Yeah. Never mind.
two born males, but you're the last male. Your father's, unfortunately, biological father passed away. Your stepfather became a woman. And you're living with five sisters in that family with that mother, and you're the only one who can't earn.
Wow.
Mom comes to you and says, "Listen, Rob,
he's about to be rehomed.
Designer socks."
Yeah.
Really, really poor guy. And then Black China comes in and unfortunately has sex with him until she has a baby, then runs off. It really is kind of sad. So we're waiting on social media as Rob Kardashian falls to pieces, and unfortunately, it looks like he's not going to survive very long.
Wow.
Yeah, wasn't he like posting photos and?
Poor guy. You can imagine being the only male in a Kardashian family and watching your sisters growing up. Mom looks around the table and says, "Look, everyone's got a sex tape. What do you got?" Diabetes is not a thing we can promote.
Can't make money off this.
I'm Rob Kardashian for the Diabetes Society of America.
Right? Yeah, you're not earning big. When Lamar stopped earning, you saw what happened.
Yep.
Send him out to Nevada, to the desert of Nevada, like the Goodfellas.
That's it. Hey, go for a ride.
Took care of once and for all. I don't know if you guys saw Politicon is taking place here in Los Angeles at the end of July.
Yeah, that's interesting.
A political fest for political media junkies. It's going to be the first convention where absolutely nobody gets laid.
Because you know, even those furries at FurryCon are getting laid.
That's right. Exactly.
People love watching cable news are getting together.
Sounds thrilling.
All your friends on social media you can't stand.
They'll be there.
Our gathering in the heat of Pasadena at the end of July.
Wow. News,
Chelsea Handler is going to debate Tommy Lahren. I don't know if you guys have heard of her before.
I'm not who she that is.
I don't know who that is. Yeah. Yeah. Don't know who that is.
That's the headline. That's the headline. Two blondes are going at it in Los Angeles, and they're talking politics.
Come on, what does the world come to?
Come on, Lex. You're setting me up so quickly right now. So many jokes.
If not for the gag order.
I know. You're killing us, Lex.
I'm sorry. If you have a safe word like bananas, let me know.
The safe word there is Bob Beckel. Bob Beckel.
I'll switch you too. Yes, I'm thinking about rooming. I'm thinking about sharing rooms with all the people from Fox who are being fired.
Oh, the latest. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, the guy from Fox Business.
Charles Payne.
Yeah.
That's wild. Unfortunately, he was a let go for sexual harassment.
He was suspended,
Sexual harassment, they used to call it Fox News. They used to call it trying. Poor guys, really poor guys. That's it from Hollywood this morning.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much. You got a new site.
Here in the
you got a new website too, right?
Yeah, I do. CaseyAnthony.com. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of Casey Anthony.
Wait, hold on. You also follow Casey Anthony? Because that last headliner, she loves Casey Anthony.
Casey Anthony, the website is all about attractive women who commit horrible crimes.
Oh, very cool.
You may
cool.
know some in your personal life.
You're going to be a busy guy yeah. doing that side.
There's Chris's ex. There's
Megan Sloan.
Several of Brad's exes. Okay, yeah.
Wow,
very cool. And then, of course, we got whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com or WWTDD.
Here's the thing.
We're speaking truth to the power of women who have amazing breasts and can't get work in Hollywood.
Here's nice. Funny. Hold on. How were you able to get CaseyAnthony.com? That was never taken?
No, it was taken. You know, you do a little negotiation.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, wow, that's
the
really
girl,
legit.
The girl needs money.
Money doesn't just talk.
Girl's gotta
it screams. Girl's
gotta work. Yeah. killing your kid doesn't pay what it used to.
Lex Jurgen from whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com. This is the Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson will be right back on the Blaze Radio Network.
Day. All right, get the tweets in. Hashtag what I learned today.
Oh, my tummy hurts. My tummy hurts.
Oh, yeah. That's.
I got world spots tweeting out what I learned today. Someone let out the hyena loose in the Morning Blaze studio. Oh, wait. That's just Chris
Cruz. Chris Cruz. World of spots. Yeah.
Hashtag
that's
sitting
what
next
I learned
to him.
Today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it hurts.
I don't know what we have done, but we have managed to collect the biggest group of reprobates somehow, and jackasses, which is hilarious to me because, like, again, even more so, everything is a challenge.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yesterday, I was like, we were having some happy hour with the Morning Blaze crew, and all I could see in the little office, I was like, wait a minute. This is like the worst group you want to hang out with. Just like, and you add a little bit of tequila, it's even worse.
It's like the juvenile justice system gone wrong.
No, because on Twitter, we can even put something about, hey, this puppy needs your help. Oh. Boom, memes, gifts.
Or it goes like, hey, I don't like snakes. And for the
snakes,
next 2 weeks.
Damn it. What did you bring that up for?
What are you talking about?
We haven't talked snakes in a while.
You don't like snakes?
Such an
oh my god! I did
so
not
I'm
know
gonna
that.
I'm going to be snake memed all day.
I did not know.
It comes
that you
in waves,
like
but most of the time it makes you down. But everything is, Can you help this starving baby seal? Okay, even the one in the club? There's all kinds of club jokes, right? Club Baby Seal. Join it today. It's a great place. Doesn't matter.
Seamus Fitzpatrick.
One of the things that I love about this audience is where I have to go back and apologize for them to the sponsors. Oh. All right, guys, I am so sorry that this happened. But hey, any publicity is publicity, right?
Publicity. Right.
That is the best one. I think I'm the only producer that has to go to sales and be like, all right, guys, you guys tweeted about this from Doc's account. You got to let me know when you're going to do this because we have to throw a disclaimer to our audience.
Most of the time we go to clients and you go, yeah, so we'll do the commercial on the air and then we'll support it with social media. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, don't tweet about us.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, we went to commercial. That's great. You do a great job with the commercials and that. But maybe just don't tweet about it. can't give it off of there.
TMBJ, the Hoosier, retweeted, all drains lead to the ocean, all dogs go to heaven, no one likes Lena Dunham.
Empirical truths, is that what that is? No. But by the way, were you the one telling me about the guy in the mountain with the eagle?
Oh, yes.
Sounds like a good joke.
The guy stranded on the mountain, and bald eagle lands next to him, and he's sitting there. A couple of days go by, the eagle still. He's like, I can't. It's endangered.
It's an eagle.
He clubs the thing over the head, and you know, he said he gets rescued. But they find out about it, the eagle. He's in court, and I don't know. You were hungry. I tell you what. The judge exonerates him. Says, but
you know, you're starving.
Yeah.
You're starving.
Yeah, you're starving. I get it. You had to do it. But before you go,
I gotta know. Hey,
what did it taste
like?
You know. He goes, a little bit like baby seal.
The seal reference reminded me of that. See, Chris, the baby seals, people right. probably not supposed to yeah. club right. them either. Yeah. It's, you know.
I get it. You don't have to explain
oh,
everything.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like Cal, hey, look, Cal just got it.
Hey, Cal, welcome.
Hey, I'm laughing over here. I got it.
We forgot that we put you in the other room.
Yeah, Cal's sequestered in the other room today out. Because Kirk.
Not Kirk showed up. Didn't show up.
Yeah, so you're not Kirk today.
I'm not Kirk.
Yeah, you're he's not Kirk.
Why not?
Because he's, we would have a not Kirk.
No, that's not Friday not. Kirk.
Oh, that's Friday
Yeah, so Kirk is in Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
And then on Fridays, somebody else comes in and we don't know his name.
No, we don't.
And does it and pushes some of the buttons and that. And we just start calling him not Friday Kirk. That's Friday okay. Kirk. So I guess you're not Kirk today.
I'm not Kirk, yeah.
Okay, very good. All right.
He's sitting over there in the corner, facing the corner. That's
it's hard
place.
To do this in it because I got to look straight for this, you know, the board, and then I got to look at you.
Wait a minute. You made it set up so you have to look one way for one thing and 180 degrees in the other direction
yep,
for the
exactly,
other thing?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's ergonomics.
It works.
Wow.
This one's good from Sleeve Diddity tweeted, two blondes are arguing in Los Angeles, brought to you by Summer's Eve.
So let's see. You got, wow, a lot of people don't like Lena Dunham.
I'm Are going you sure?
All the ones I can't read.
I think
all
you're misreading.
All the ones I
that.
Can't read. Can't read. Can't
oh,
read.
Oh, I like
Hilarious.
This one. Chris Kofefe's Beards tweeting out what I learned today. Friday on the Morning Blaze will be even more epic with tequila and margaritas.
Oh, you have
I don't
no
know if
idea.
We could. Yeah. That's Blaze After Dark.
That's called the Morning Blaze live from the police station.
Did you guys yeah. get the new Blaze manual? Employee manual?
I got the automatic. It's easier. You're welcome.
Hello. See, it's a manual versus automatic.
I hate you all. This is worse than the military. I knew how to watch what I say in the military, but here it's like quicker than over here. Mm. You guys get
you know, why chicken coops only have a front door and a back door?
Why?
They only have two doors.
Why?
Because if it had four doors, it would be a chicken sedan.
Hey.
It's a coupe.
Again, you don't have to explain it.
Oh, okay.
I get the joke.
Can we go back to the Lena Dunham jokes now?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay, so what was we were asking about the manual?
Yeah, did you guys get the manual?
Mm-hmm.
Did you read the new section that they just added?
Oh, top to bottom. Top to bottom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I didn't realize we have the... I saw it, but I didn't read it.
Okay, you should read the new section.
The new section?
Yeah. They added a new section.
Oh, is it, boy. Is it labeled TMB?
It should be.
Okay, I'll check that out. I appreciate it. All right, let me get a break in. Friday Leftovers coming up right after this.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Doc Thompson presents The Friday Leftovers.
These are the great stories we didn't get to earlier in the week, so we will get to them now. 36-year-old Cleveland Cooley Jr. of West Palm Beach had his day in court, stemming from an incident last March, when he was arrested for breaking into an SUV owned by the Secret Service.
Okay.
It was parked at a hotel near Palm Beach International Airport while President Trump was in Florida. Cooley broke in and stole almost $10,000 in computer tablets and other equipment that was used by the Secret Service. They left him inside overnight. Although it doesn't say police or Secret Service, it is a big reinforced black SUV with tinted windows and one of those cow pushers, whatever they call them, on the front of the vehicle. And government plates. Cops simply searched for the stolen items online, and they found the post by Cleveland Cooley Jr., who had posted pictures of the stolen items, which were particularly unique. I mean, they were unique items because Secret Service used them. All they did was send an undercover cop to meet him to buy the goods and arrested him.
Did they get a good price?
They did. A really good price. It was free.
Yeah, good.
Cooley asked the judge at the trial for leniency. He said, would you please send me home as soon as possible? I have to take care of my family, including my kids, my 16 kids.
What?
Prosecutor said, whoa, Your Honor. I got to question Mr. Cooley's sincerity because he is only financially supporting one of the 16 children.
Oh, no.
And hasn't worked in years.
Whoops.
And has a 17-year history of arrests.
Oh, my God.
Whoopsies.
The judge gave him time in prison.
Oh, wow.
He should consider himself lucky.
Do we know anything about the 15 kids extra?
No. So apparently they needed a computer, though.
Cleveland is what we call a, what's the word I'm looking for? Scumbag.
Wow.
Let me. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that does qualify here. Brad, this qualifies here, right?
I do think so.
I mean,
yes.
Brad has an extensive history of knowing and being around scumbags. Yeah. And if he's saying, yeah, he ended up getting almost a year in prison, which still got off light, and 3 years of supervised release. Pro criminal tip number 2819. Don't try to sell the stuff you sold from cops to those cops.
Yeah. Never works out well.
The 33-year-old man in Thailand initially told cops that he had no idea how the metal rings got onto his penis, but eventually admitted he had put them there himself while experimenting.
You know, because that's what you do, right?
I don't know.
I was weightlifting, officer. Just exercise.
I was experimenting with these rings on my finger, and they just kind of slipped. One in a million shot, Doc. One in a million shot.
You should play the lottery next.
That's what I'm saying. Two of the metal rings he was using for experimental self-pleasure technique somehow slipped.
Oh.
He was unable to remove them.
Oh.
Was left, as the police said, in agony.
Oh.
The rings had to be cut off.
Oh. With the jaws of life or whatever the scissors
the
is.
The jaws of life. I love that. Guess maybe it does apply here. Cops are calling it, quote, sexual experimentation gone wrong. You never want gone wrong to be part of your story. Because it's never like...
Especially if there's sex at the beginning of the sentence.
Right. Yeah. It's never like... travel directions gone wrong, right, where you just turn left and you had to go down to turn around. It's travel directions gone wrong where you ended up in a crack house with hookers, and you know, it's always a bunch of stuff. You never want gone wrong as part of your story.
And if you're gonna experiment on these things, I wouldn't go using metal. That's just a piece of advice.
What would you use, Cal?
Yeah,
what have you used, Cal?
I mean, if I were to use, it would have to be something, you know, easily removable, like, soft, you know.
It's like the OJ book. I didn't do it, but if I did, I would do.
You sound like that book.
Just saying.
75-year-old Richard Ogilvy bought a 40-foot yacht. He's 75. He bought a 40-foot old yacht that needed refurbished.
Mm-hmm.
This was 10 years ago, and he began refurbishing it. You know, you're 65, you're retired. This is the UK.
Past time,
right, and he starts refurbishing it, working on it. 10 years, he's worked on this thing. His wife said he loves it. 8 hours a day, 5 days a week at least, he worked on it. He had to treat the rotten timbers and replace them. Right. He fixed the engine. He had to get it up and running. He spent thousands of dollars to launch it. It sank immediately.
Oh, no. Oh, that's too bad.
Did he forget to fill the hole?
I don't know, but he worked on this forever. He put it in the water, and it sank within seconds. It went to the bottom. Ogilvy said, obviously, I would have liked to see the boat remain on the surface.
Is there some sort of test you can do before you put it in the water just to see if it can float without losing it?
Ogilvy, obviously, I would have liked to see the boat remain on the surface. A boat is much better when it floats. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
No crap.
And write that one down. So a boat is much better when it floats. Floats.
Got it.
A pair of women attacked a 64-year-old man with pepper spray Thursday night near the Powell Street BART station in San Francisco. The approach the man. They began to argue with him. One of the women eventually pepper sprayed him. They grabbed his bag and fled.
Wait.
The women, what was that?
They just approached this guy and...
Yeah, started arguing with him, grabbed him. I guess mugging him was the, you know...
So, is that the correct term? Like, he just got mugged?
I think that's a mugging. They used pepper spray for it, but yeah, mugged and stole his stuff. The women are still at large. They made off with his bag full of laxatives.
Oh.
So when they... So when they get to the house, they're like, all right, let's check what our booty is. I see what I did. The booty. The booty gets the laxative.
Wow.
That's a surprise. All right, what's the haul? What do we get? We give him money? Jewels? What do we get there? No, Rolex watch?
Let me open it.
What do you got there? What do you got there?
What are these boxes?
Is it medication? What is it? Oxycodone? What is it?
You can sell them. Laxatives? Is that the new chocolate?
Oh, sounds good. Try it. Yeah. It's mine. All mine. None for you. Yeah, can you imagine they don't know what it is, and you're the one, you're like, I'm going to take a little bit more for myself here.
Wait, and the guy has to go back and say, I was mugged by two women.
Yeah. They got away with my laxatives.
Two women.
By the way, what is a guy carrying so much laxatives in a backpack? Is that the new, like...
It's the same guy with the rings and ties.
He's like, well, the rings didn't work. Let's see if I can try this. Maybe this is fun. I feel bad for the guy because he's at home all... Damn it. Damn it.
Two women.
I've tried everything, even buying laxatives. They didn't work.
He did it for the and giggles.
Can you see the company that the laxatives didn't work? Emergency crews in Virginia responded to a 911 call. They rushed to the home of a 12-year-old girl and had to rescue her from a folding couch. The caller was another young girl who explained that she and a friend had been playing hide and seek.
Oh, no.
When she willingly hid inside. They were not able to reopen it. Police and fire crews showed up. She was not injured. She wasn't stuck or anything like that. They just couldn't reopen it with the additional weight. Oh. So there she stayed in the couch. Cops opened it within seconds of being there.
Wow.
Isn't that how Lucille Ball got her start in comedy?
I think it was, yeah. You ever try to move one of those?
No.
Oh, they get heavy.
They are so damn heavy.
Yeah.
They are... I had to move one time, and I had to move it upstairs. Oh. And here's the thing. I'm what you call impatient.
You?
No.
I really am. Seriously. Oh, I don't know if you guys know that.
Oh, wow.
I really am impatient.
What
yeah.
is this impatience you're
right.
speaking
and
of?
I don't mind working, but I get impatient with the work. I'm like, I just want to get to it. Let's go. Prep work. What are you talking about? So when I moved the couch upstairs, the hideaway bed, I didn't secure it. I didn't tie it down.
Oops.
You know where I'm going with this, Brad? I got halfway upstairs, and it sprung open, wedging itself between the two walls. Now, here's the thing about those. You really have to be right in front of it and level to push it down and back in.
Yep.
That thing was wedged there for days. I could not get it out. It was perfectly wedged. It was like a comedy routine. If you were watching a movie, you're going, come on, that would never happen. It happened. And there was just the smallest little space underneath where I could crawl and squeeze through to get upstairs and downstairs. I thought I was going to have to take the wall out. So I feel bad for the girls.
Damn it, I've got to go back upstairs again.
Damn it, I forgot my car keys. Jacksonville cops say 38-year-old Cedric Jelks was sitting in his Nissan Altima by himself. And suddenly he ran into a home in panic. Shanika Roberts was inside the house. She said she saw him run in, go straight to the bathroom. She followed him in and saw that he had a gunshot wound to his penis.
Oh.
Apparently he had sat on the gun accidentally in his Nissan Maxima and it went off.
Oh.
He had a cocaine possession charge in 2004, which will mean he probably faces gun charges now because he's not able to own them.
I think the
million to one shot, Doc. Million to one shot.
I think the judge should give him a pass. He's suffered enough.
You think so? Is that how it works?
Yes.
I don't know if they look down a little bit. There's a scar on his scrotum from a bull.
Yeah, that's true too. That might be part of it as well.
Yeah.
Wow, that's. Although that's going to give you some swagger in prison. I don't mean cred.
Right.
I mean you're going to be walking kind of differently than gingerly with the...
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Morning Friday leftovers coming up, but first got to tell you about Relief Factor. It's a product that was designed to alleviate inflammation in the body. And inflammation, as you know, is something that causes a lot of pain for a lot of people. Why mask the pain? Why not try to get rid of it? Get rid of it altogether. It's worked for me, and that is Relief Factor. It's worked for Brad Staggs as well, Chris Cruz, Cal. We've all tried it for various aches and pains. It'll work for you. And maybe somebody that you know that has suffered through pain for many, many years. All you have to do is go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It's 800-500-8384. The people at Relief Factor want to thank you so much for supporting them as they sponsor the program. And a lot of people have already tried them, and a lot of people have already gotten that relief. So go to ReliefFactor.com. Continuing your Friday leftovers now, you go to the UK.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Over the pond.
The West Yorkshire Police posted a picture that we'll send out in just a moment to their Facebook page with a caption. The caption says, "A man in Calderdale who was wanted by police decided to try to hide this morning when we went to his property looking for him. You will not be surprised to find out that yes, we did find him." And the picture shows a man hiding under a bed with his body sticking out from the waist down. I don't mean like he missed that his foot was peeking out, that even his ankle down or his knees. From the weight, like he managed to only get even part of his torso, pretty much his head and his arms down, and somehow thought the police, they'll never find me here.
You can't see me.
This is like a kid where they just close their eyes and suddenly you can't see them.
Me. Hold very, very still.
I've got a unique set of skills. I can hide the top half of my body. They said he will not be winning any awards for hide and seek champion soon. A PA man recently copped to a pair of misdemeanor charges, trespassing and sexual intercourse with an animal.
Is that immoral?
I don't know if it's immoral, but it certainly is illegal.
All right.
At least it is in this case.
Had I known that type of thing was frowned upon,
I would have stopped that years ago. He was arrested last year after the horse's owner reported that he witnessed a man trespassing on his property late at night. He believed it had happened more than once. The owner said the suspect had snuck into his barn that contained various livestock. After tracking down the 22-year-old Travis Wagner via his license plate that the owner spotted on his truck, which was on the owner's property, he eventually confessed to having sex at least three times with a miniature horse.
A pony?
No, a miniature horse.
That's a pony.
No, it's not. A pony's a whole different animal. Now, listen, I don't want you casting aspersions. This guy did not have sex with a pony. That's disgusting. It was a miniature horse. It was just a smaller version.
Okay.
That's horrible.
Okay.
Pony sex. What's the matter with you?
Okay.
It's not
a savage.
That's right. Come on. You got to draw the line somewhere.
I want to apologize.
He's not a freak.
I want to apologize to this guy. I'm sorry. I call you punny, pony something.
Pony raper. He was not. He's all miniature horse raper. There's a difference.
Please.
He's a pony rapist.
And to all the pony rapers out there, I apologize.
Yeah. He pleaded guilty and was sentenced to years in prison and $1,000. In fines or whatever. See, here's the thing. You go to prison for something like this, and you're like...
So why are you in prison for?
Right. You got to tell him because you're one of the sexual deviants.
Yeah.
And then you also lose cred because it's a miniature horse.
Or pony.
I mean, you're not even a badass. It's a real horse.
Raped a miniature pony. Right. A miniature horse instead.
So as they're taking you away, you got to... No, tell him it was a real horse, will you? Tell him it was a regular size horse. Come on.
The Morning Blaze
with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
Sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
I blame myself.
I also blame you.
The only person in blame here is you.
Yeah,
I know.
Pretty much. Everything's your fault.
Okay, let's see. So many tweets that I can't get to. And I don't mean I don't have time for them.
Don't you hate that?
I know. It's really good ones.
They're so good. Guys, we're proud of you.
Chris Cofefe Beard says,
which is not me, guys.
There's a difference between pony rape and sex with a mini horse. One is illegal and one involves Sarah Jessica Parker.
That's right. Just say nay. Just say nay. TMB Saddle Tramp says, people, do you breed horses? Me. Nah, they like to cuddle afterwards. Sleeve did it. Note to would-be fugitives. The half of you not hiding under the bed is a snitch. Snitches get stitches. All right, get him in. Hashtag what I learned today at Brad Staggs. At the Blaze Brad, at Real Chris Cruz, at Cal 79, and at Doc Thompson Show. And if you would, please, when you go there, check out. In fact, I'll have a link at Doc Thompson Show on Twitter. You can click. It's to Earthwater, a great product that we all love here. It's earthwater.com/theblaze. And remember the promo code theblaze so you can get 10% off your order. It's earthwater.com/theblaze. What is Earthwater? It's water plus. It's water plus 70 trace minerals. So they start with water. It's just water, tastes like water. It doesn't necessarily look like water because the trace minerals end up clouding it. It's dark. Mm-hmm. It looks like cola, but it tastes absolutely like water. Doesn't taste like anything else. There's no additional flavor because the minerals. But the minerals do give you the things that your body have been looking for and probably you've been denying your body because it's difficult to get all of those. These are 70 trace minerals that you actually need, meaning that you're going to have more energy. Your body needs those. Plus, it's going to help you rebuild your immune system, reduce your stress level, improve your memory and focus, help remove the toxins from your body, and help maintain healthy skin, nails, and hair. Earthwater. Get it today at earthwater.com/theblaze and use promo code theblaze and you get 10% off your order. Joining us now, Rachel Alexander. Is it Alexander? Did I get that right, Rachel?
That's it.
Okay, see, Chris Cruz put Rachel Alexander-end.
No, it's just I forgot Alexander to make it bigger.
And, okay. No, it's not. That's a D. It's
watch
not an R.
Watch this. Oh, what does that say?
Oh, there it is. Okay.
See, I got magic hands.
Okay, very good. Rachel, sorry
it's
about that.
It's not Alexander the horse.
Oh, okay, right, exactly. I appreciate that. Nicely done.
She was listening.
There she was. So Rachel's from The Stream and has an interesting story about a court case that involves funding religious institutions. But can you give us the backstory about what happened? Because it's been going on for a couple of years.
Yeah, this is a bombshell case for religious liberty. Basically what happened is this Lutheran church in Missouri applied for a government grant to have its playground resurfaced. And the court came down, and I know I'm jumping to the end, but I just want to get this out there first. The Supreme Court ruled that the government, the state government, must fund this church's playground, and we've never had this in the history of the Supreme Court before, where the court actually said, sometimes the court will come down and say, yes, a church or a religious institution can get government funding,
sure.
But the court is saying you must fund this church, and what happened is, the church, when they applied, the state said, no, because of our Blaine Amendment and our Constitution, no money can go to a religious institution, and solely because you're a church, we're denying you. And the court said, no, you can't deny them only because they're a church. This is a purely secular purpose that they're going to be using the money for. And if you deny the money to resurface their playground, then you can deny them the police services or, the fire department services to the church.
So when I first saw the headline of this, I was like, wait a minute, you must fund a religious organization. I was out. Even though I'm very conservative and I have strong faith or whatever, my libertarian nature of how we all ought to interact and how government ought to operate said, no, you shouldn't force somebody to fund something. But when I heard the rest of the story, what they were saying was they have to fund them because they would fund somebody else. You can't discriminate, essentially. Between
right. And look at where this could go. Like, if the, you know, this church is this only, you know, organization in town that, you know, doesn't have a playground redone, and there's cracks in the playground, and the neighborhood children who don't even attend the church, but they just happen to be coming to use the playground, they get injured. Okay, you see how the connection is so tenuous that it could, you know, hurt people who have nothing to do with the church.
So what impact or what effect is this going to have moving forward now? Because they said it, but it didn't have to do with more that it was the playground. It didn't have to do with, you know, the worship, stuff like that.
Right. So, you know, if the church wants money for Bibles, it's not going to get money for Bibles. You know, there's the very clear case that this, cited out of Washington State where a guy wanted to apply for a scholarship to, it was a state, you know, funded scholarship to get a theology degree, and they denied him that because that's specifically for religious instruction. So it wouldn't be that broad, but what it is going to do is it's going to open the door for some of these state Blaine amendments, and I think like one third of the states have them or something. It's going to set them up for conflict with the U.S. Constitution, and so, you know, we might see some of them getting rewritten or, you know, struck down.
You know, what frustrates me about this is this is crazy. Of course this is different. I mean, any reasonable person would say, you know, even like I said, I don't think they should be forced to fund religion. I do believe that there should be some divide. When you cross the line and start saying, listen, you got to be a Christian, kid. I'm out. I'm done. Even though I hope you are. I hope you're doing right. But this is a case where reasonable people are not involved. Any reasonable person on the left that worries about, you know, maybe an atheist out there, I don't want you pushing this stuff on me or whatever, should be able to look at this and go, okay, they're like you said, they're not forcing people to buy Bibles or crucifixes. This isn't what's going on.
And a lot of these people on the left aren't being reasonable about it. They're saying this is going to result in funding Christian schools. Well, it's ridiculous. We already have things called vouchers, and they don't fund the Christian schools. That they're given to the parents, and then the parents can then take them to the school of their choice, and they end up paying for things like math textbooks, not Bibles.
Right. Okay. Now there's a difference too. Even you're right. We already have in some cases religious schools that, you know, kind of are indirectly funded. But I don't care if religious schools, even religions that I'm not, if school money goes to fund those, I don't care. You want to send your kid to a Jewish school? Fine. You ought to be able to take the money and go to a Jewish school, a Muslim school. Well, wait a minute. No, a Muslim school. Seriously, you want to send your kids? Why not? Go ahead and use it.
Yeah, and that's where they're going to try to parse this. They're going to try to say, well, you know, because they've got money for the math textbooks, that leaves them with extra money of their own for the Bibles at these Christian schools. So therefore, it's indirectly funding. I mean, they're going to come up with all kinds of creative arguments. You see where this is going.
Right. And as far as atheists go, if you're like, well, wait a minute, this will fund those Christian schools, why shouldn't Christians or other religious groups be able to have their schools funded? Because as an atheist, your school is funded.
Yeah, and it's incredible how far we've come. I wrote this article about what was around in 1776 for 4th of July. And, you know, back then in the little public schools, everybody studied the Bible. It was just sort of normal.
Right. That was part of your education. There was not a separation. In fact, some of the early schools took place in the churches, or church services took place in schools. I mean, it was double use.
So. Yeah, I mean, we've just come so far. And again, I mean, I think it comes down to direct aid to religion versus indirect. And I think, you know, if a church is indirectly getting aid for a secular purpose, I think the courts have been pretty clear in how it's ruled. And I don't think the atheists are going to get any further there.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty reasonable approach. You're absolutely right. All right, what's your social media info? Can people reach you on Twitter?
Yeah, please follow me on Rach_IC.
Okay, and we'll tweet out a link to that as well. It's Rachel Alexander from the Steam, the stream, and it's a good story. Hopefully people will check it out.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it. This is one of those cases where it's not the difference of opinion. It's not we're going to hell in a handbasket. It's not because people have objections to religion. We're gonna debate these things forever. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, with our difference of opinion, debate them and then find the common ground. That's not the problem. The problem is the lack of reason. And that is not just saying the left. How do you not understand that if it happens to be a playground or something that is attached to, associated with a church, a school, whatever, that is not the school or the kids in there getting money? That's a quite reasonable approach to say, come on, guys.
Yeah, that was a brilliant point I just made.
It
goes back to the logic versus emotion argument. Again, go to The Righteous Mind, one of the books that Glenn assigned. But it's logic. No one's stopping to look at the logic. It's all about just the emotional side.
So the people on the left that would be worried about something like this and say, we don't want the kids taught. What is their motivation? What's their argument? Is it a personal freedom issue for them? Is that what they're saying? Is it
maybe
it's not a care issue?
No.
I mean, they're not saying our kids will or won't be cared for if you do something like this.
See, that's just it. That's where you have to get to the bottom line of the argument. Is it, look, we both care about kids, both left and right care about kids.
Right.
I mean, it would be foolish to assume that we don't. And that's not where the argument's having. It becomes some emotional level about ideology.
Yeah, exactly. But in this case, I mean, I can't believe they can't get there themselves on this one. You know, if we talk about some other issues, they're arguing one emotional reaction, I'm arguing another one, and we never end up communicating. We just yell at each other. But in this case, you don't get there by yourself. I mean, I have to go over and seek out your motivation and figure this out. How do you not get there and go, okay, this is not you funding a church? And if to her point, if she's saying, well, it'll free up the money, it's kind of a shell game with the money, please, even in those cases, So our monies, how many people out there don't have kids and their money still goes to pay for the local schools? Sure. And the argument is it's for the betterment of society.
Right.
It's like the roads and whatever. Okay, you're right. We need to be an educated country. Great, wonderful. That's fine. I, as a Christian, have no problem with those parents taking their tax dollars out of the system and saying, use them for even a Muslim education. I mean, minus the terrorism part.
Right, exactly.
You know, but if you want to send it to a Muslim school, that's fine. Or a Jewish school, or even an atheist school. But we already have the atheist schools. And by the way, we wouldn't have to do this if you hadn't taken such a hardline stance against Christianity in public schools. Because back in the day, it was not, in most schools, prayer service. There were things where they would have, you know, a prayer before an assembly, or maybe you had a Christmas pageant.
Or the Pledge of Allegiance.
They don't even
do that anymore.
No, those things have all been eradicated because they're so paranoid.
You had it 200 years your way, now it's time to have it our way.
For 200 years, then we'll go back to the other way.
I can't even see the argument against the pledge. It has nothing to do with religion.
Under God.
It's under God. When they put that in.
Hello.
God. So it doesn't, it's not specifying which God or what.
Yeah. What if I don't think there's any God?
Yeah.
So you're still a citizen of this country, aren't you?
Yes, but I shouldn't have to say the God part then.
Yeah.
That's their argument. Asinine. That's what they say. Yeah, exactly. Of course it is.
America's lost its identity.
You're pushing this with logic, Kyle. Stop it.
Yes, you're using logic. It doesn't apply. Of course not. Quick break. Back with more on The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Amazing incentives and great life insurance. That's Health IQ. Check them out today. HealthIQ.com/Blaze. Health IQ believes that health conscious people deserve lower rates, and they've developed a system to do just that. Now, for years, people that were looking for life insurance, if you went to sign up, they're like, okay, great, the price is going to be this. Oh, wait a minute. You have a family history of that, it's going to be more. Or your BMI is that, it's going to be more. So they penalized you if you were not healthy, which is fine. But what if you are healthy or healthier or one of the healthiest? Shouldn't you get a break? Shouldn't it be cheaper? Well, it didn't work that way. And Health IQ said, we think it should. They went to the insurance company. Insurance company's like, yeah, we don't have any history. We don't know how to, data to put this together. So they spent years gathering data from all these different sources, went to the insurance companies and set it up. And now thousands, tens of thousands of people have secured billions in insurance and done it cheaper because they live a healthier lifestyle. That healthier lifestyle could be slightly healthier or more healthy. It could be based on things like you eating better. You could be a strength trainer, a bodybuilder. You can, be a bicycle.
Marathon runner.
You can do any of those things. And all you have to do is get a free quote at healthiq.com/blaze. You go there, they'll ask you a couple of simple questions, then they give you a quote. And in today's world, having that extra level of security and safety for your family in case something happens to you or a loved one is certainly worth it. HealthIQ.com/blaze.
We should all get quotes to see who's the healthiest.
Obviously not.
Everybody on the show go in.
Obviously not.
Oh, don't give me that. I'm still healthier than all of you. I'm still healthier than all of you.
I still think how Doc would beat us all, even though yesterday he was chowing down on Krispy Kremes and marshmallows.
Okay, we don't need time. I'm in the middle of a commercial, please. Okay, the advertiser, they need their due.
Okay.
Get the free quote, healthiq.com/blaze. Healthiq.com/blaze. Get it today. All right, now what were you prattling on about?
I was going to say we should all go to Health IQ and get quotes and take bets on who is the healthiest.
You don't think that mine would be that I'd be the healthiest of y'all?
I would put my money on you, yes. Even though, again, you were chowing on Krispy Kremes and marshmallows yesterday. As was I.
A momentary indiscretion.
Yeah, but you said
you're back on the horse. You were back on Whole 30.
I'm on the wagon. I'm off the horse. Okay. Tell them it was a regular size horse. It's on the wagon or off the wagon or off the on the horse. Is that what
it is?
What's the drug?
Ride the white pony.
Okay, I'm so confused.
That's heroin, isn't it?
Okay, all I know is I've been eating bad again. So all last week, I set my mind, I'm usually really good. And I ate really healthy all week. Mm-hmm. And then the wife came to town for the fourth. And I know.
Are you actually blaming your pregnant wife on your own food discretions?
Blaming not just the pregnant wife. He's bringing
every
10
seconds. She's like, you want to get this? You want to get that? We can get this. You know, I'm craving. I'm doing this. And none of it's going to keep telling her. And then finally, I just said, oh, what the hell?
Fine. Okay, that was the weekend. She's not here anymore. Why were you eating Krispy Kremes yesterday?
I'm a stress eater.
I didn't see her here forcing Krispy Kremes down your throat.
Stress eater. I have a lot of stresses in my life. I've been dealing with the car dealers.
Oh, how's that going?
It's really stressful. I have to buy a car.
You're buying
a
new car because why are you buying a new car?
It's not for me. It's a whole story we'll get to in a minute. But anyway, so I'm stressed out. So I had a couple of indiscretions yesterday. And then my coworkers, part of my tribe, as I try to move from a level three,
You're a stage what, three?
I'm a stage three and I want to be a stage four. I'm supposed to rely on my coworkers.
You were two. Yesterday, so you were two.
And that bastard Brad Staggs goes, hey, we're going over to get barbecue. You want to get some? And I'm like, no.
It's me.
You sure? We'll bring you something back. No, it's okay. I really appreciate the offer. It's very nice of you and Beth. That's wonderful.
What's wrong with barbecue? It's protein. That's healthy.
As we turn to leave the barbecue place, guess who I run smack into?
No! I went over and joined them.
It's like, hey.
They left and I was like, damn it, that sounds good.
That's funny because he was in here yesterday asking, I don't know if I should go join. Should I go get some barbecue?
What does Cal say? What did you say?
Yeah, I said, go get barbecue.
You guys are supposed to say no. You're supposed to say no. Don't
good
do it,
barbecue.
Doc.
It's meat. It's protein. Cal's right.
Exactly. Yes, but what about everything that came with it? And by the way, you got to put the sauce on it, which is loaded up with sugar and stuff like that.
You also had sugar yesterday at the little margarita.
There were a couple of drinks at happy hour last night. I had one margarita, just one.
How many HR might be listening.
You were down in the whiskey. Was that with the Jim Beam? I had a couple glasses of Jim Beam.
Okay.
So, but only one margarita.
Okay.
And one Jim Beam.
More than one Jim Beam.
So I had that. And then
you were chowing off those chocolates.
A whole bunch. And then there was the chocolate bark. Damn it, chocolate. I did have that.
What about the chocolate bark? How many barks did you eat?
I had a lot of that. And then, son of a gun, Mac brought in donuts yesterday, too.
Again, what were these donuts?
They were down at the other, and he brought like seven cases of them.
Yeah, they were.
I've never seen so many donuts.
Big Mac?
He may have brought. He might as well have just brought the conveyor of Krispy Kreme.
They were good.
And so I had to have a donut.
You didn't have to.
One.
I had to have some donuts. Donuts.
So two.
Some.
Is that more than a whole box?
I did not have a whole box.
Is it 12?
I did not have 12.
Wow! Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
You don't sound so happy today. What's wrong?
Okay, you wanted some
Friday.
I mentioned. I know, but my weekend is going to be filled with driving long distance, moving heavy things.
Well, what
cleaning,
the audience doesn't know,
killing
is,
from creepy crawly, killing some creepy crawly things, and then giving some shady cat a bunch of my money.
What the audience doesn't know is you haven't been home in like what, 2 weeks.
Right. Last weekend, I've been in Dallas all the time, and the wife came down here, and we spent the 4th of July weekend here or whatever. So, okay, that's was pretty much it. So, I'm going to be heading up. So
what's with the shady guy and the money?
So, I have to buy a car.
Because the shady guy's right in front of you.
You know, you can go to
money.
A dealership and just, you know, you don't have to go meet some guy in an alley.
That's what I'm talking about, the shady guy at the dealer. Dealers are shady. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay.
How about you go in there with a plan?
Do you have a plan?
I didn't say I'm going to be taken advantage of. I'm saying they're shady.
You just go in there and you say, this is what I'm paying. Not a penny more.
No, I know that.
Show me what you got.
No, you're missing the point. When I do that, I don't want to be around those cats. They're shady.
Well, they're going to try to, you know, sell you the mud flaps and sell you the
Well, of course,
extra,
but that's not
this,
the problem. They're just shady characters. I just don't like hanging out with shady characters. I mean, other than here. I get
enough
of it,
apparently. I was going to say, you were hanging around.
I was going to say, every day is shady characters here.
I'm what you call impatient. I don't know if you guys know that.
What? Yeah, no. Who says this?
So when you go to a car dealer, even if you make the deal right off, even without the, well, I don't know, there's a couple here, let me talk to the manager and see if we can put that undercoating in and all the crap. Even if you've done with that, even if you were to walk in and go, yes, I want that car, that price is fine, and I'm going to finance it, you know, and whatever terms are, fine, good. If you do that, for some reason, you still have to sit there like 7 hours.
Yeah.
While they call the bank and then put the paperwork through and the satellites hook up and oh, whatever. And they get the squirrel back on the wheel in the office, whatever it is. And you sign the paper. It just takes forever. And you sit there with the other people and you all have the same look on your face. Oh, you know, just waiting. I don't do that anymore. So the last few times I've bought cars, and this works, I have contacted them via email. And by the way, I'm also traveling a lot. And I say, here's what I'm looking for. You know, what do you got? And what's the price? That type of thing. And I'm not saying this to haggle. I'm not trying to squeeze every dollar because there are little ways car dealers can hide money in certain financing charges and whatever else. But for the most part, the price they put up there is pretty much it. I'm not talking just the sticker because they have incentives and stuff they can, you know, from the company and all this. But the dealer usually, minus incentives, has very little wiggle room. I mean, it's like $800 maybe. It's not like you can go, wow, the car's 20 grand. They have 10 grand wiggle room. They don't. So, I mean, if you're smart, you know where most of the pitfalls all are. They're still going to get a couple of bucks out of you. I got it, right? I'm fine. So I do my homework, investigate the price of the car through the companies, do the blue book, all of the stuff, whatever, where they hide the money. So I know. And I'm not expecting them to not make a couple of bucks. Got it. So I go, what can you do for me? What do you got in the lot? But there's all the different features you can get. I want this, but the rest doesn't matter. Get me as close as you can. And the last few times, it's worked really well. Then you show up. You're there like 40 minutes for them to put the final paperwork or whatever and staple it and give you the package and the keys, as opposed to 4 hours. And it's worked. So I have to buy a car for my mother-in-law.
Wait, what?
I have to buy a car for my mother-in-law. She lives with us. She needs a car.
Why does she need a car? It's not like she has friends and family here.
Yes, I know that. Nor does she travel many places.
That's what
does
I'm
she
saying.
Drive? Does she have a job?
No.
Well,
she
go a lot of places?
She takes care of Cubby. And that's about it.
I mean, she doesn't leave. She doesn't need a car to go to a job. That's the point.
No.
I mean,
yeah, like, yeah. No.
So why does she need a new car? Can you just give her, like, you know, the car you drive around?
See, you're asking questions here that I asked that got me in trouble.
Oh, I'm sorry, these are
the, you just laid out some of the very questions I asked that got me in trouble.
I mean, you're going to take on a whole new expense just for one person who doesn't really kind of need it.
Right.
Is she
right.
going to pay for the car note?
The note? You mean the upkeep?
Yeah.
Like every month?
The payments?
The lease payments?
No, that's what I got to do.
Okay, so
do you get to drive it too then? Because it's a new car. So since you're paying for it, you're going to get to drive it.
No,
the nice new car.
No, in fact, I was told by her that this car that nobody's allowed to drive, even like temporarily. Like I just got it borrowed for the whatever.
Yeah,
can't like go to the grocery store.
So you're buying a new car,
right?
You're paying the payments.
Yes,
the upkeep.
Right.
You're not driving it.
You cannot drive it.
Right. That is exactly.
You can't enjoy
okay.
It.
Now
that
you're
makes
probably
sense.
Asking about like oil changes and gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, because she has an allowance for those things.
Hold on. She has an allowance? From whom?
She is from us. What are you talking about?
So hold on. So she's getting a car. She's getting an allowance.
Right.
All the upkeeps for the car.
Right.
Paying for the car.
Yes.
What else is she getting from you?
I mean, she lives with us.
Oh.
His very soul.
Does she pay rent?
Well, no.
Who pays the rent?
Well, I have a mortgage and she lives with us. Yeah. Hmm. So, anyway. So I have to buy the car, and I asked those same questions, Cal, and then I asked another question. I said, we have to get her a car, so why do you keep saying we're going to get her a new car? And I asked...
Just get a used car.
And I was told it has to be a new car.
Why does it need to be a brand new car?
I don't understand.
Do you have a brand new car?
No, I have
my mom's
old...
Does Gina have a brand new car?
No. She has a newer car. It's only a couple of years old.
So grandma needs...
Right.
Sticker brand car, like brand new.
2017,
miles,
actually right. 2018.
0 miles.
Yeah. Now, my wife will be getting a new car soon, too, within the end of the year or so, you know, whatever.
Okay.
But I'm driving my mom's 2005 Honda.
How much
Fit.
Are you making you buying here people's car? Can I get a car?
No.
Are you just giving them out? Because I'll take
it. Yeah, because I'll take a
you
car.
Know,
I need a new car.
Mock me for wearing, as Cal puts it, assless pants. And you see how I dress. And they wear the same four things on TV. And by same four things, the same...
Two
things on TV, and I'm driving my mom's 2005 Honda Fit.
Which see, is like, making,
which needs
crap.
Work.
Right, which needs work, thank you. That if I was making money, I would also have a new, no, because every penny goes to them. This is the key.
Not only your car needs work, your car needs a new tire, too.
Yes, it does.
I think, so, I know your family's from South Korea, but a lot of what they're doing sounds very North Korean-esque.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Cal. This and their attitude is very stage two borderline stage one behavior, just so you know.
Yeah.
Have you bought a copy of Tribal Leadership so you could give it to them?
They need a copy of Friction, too. They need a bunch of these. And Righteous Mind. They need them all.
Mistakes were made, but not by me.
Watching him get out of his car is like watching the Shriners get out of a Volkswagen.
Oh, it is. It really is. It's like, dun, 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 dun. I started wearing a fez when I drive.
Here comes one just, leg. Now the other leg. There's an arm.
It's Doc Thompson in the Shriner car, followed by the Boy Scout float.
And a miniature horse. Whoa, he had that in the car with him?
So anyway, so I've been dealing with the car dealers, right? And I told you this has worked in the past where I just email. And most of the time they've been, you know, pretty engaging. It's like, hey, I get you. You're out of business. We can do this via email. It's only a couple of, here's what I got, here's what I don't. I'll take that. Here's the finance. Good. Okay, done. You haggle a bit and you're out. So I email three different car dealerships with various lines in the area, Northwest Arkansas, and I'm like, hey, these are the three types of cars I would want, or by that I mean my mother-in-law would want and has told me she needs, with certain things on it and certain things not. Here's what I need. And I went through their websites, you know, little contact forms, because I don't know what salesman, I don't know how to contact them individually. Yeah. And I get the automatic reply. Thank you for replying to blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. And then I get some emails from, like, the sales assistant. Hey, thanks. Somebody's going to be contacting. No, it's got your email. Why don't you stop in and check out our line or give us a call?
Yeah, but
or
that's not what you want.
Right. And I specifically said in my email, listen, I'm traveling. I can't do this. And I don't have honestly, when I go home, I'm not going to have time, whether I wanted to or not, to sit there for 5 hours in a showroom. I'm going to be working at home. So I know what I want. I know whatever. I've looked at the prices. This is not about haggling. Here's the whatever. What do you got? Stop into the showroom, whatever. And I'm like, And it's almost like,
we'll show you when we stop, when you stop by. Come on.
Right, but it's not like they're selling me. It's like they're just not reading what I wrote. It's like standard, even though it's not a bounce back auto reply, it's like a cut and paste. We just tell people.
Yeah.
And there's these little lines like, we do our best to make sure that customer service is job one and
you're
stop it at the little show. Right.
We value your patronage and would love to have you as part of our clientele.
Yes, exactly. And so I keep going, what? So a couple of them, I'm like, dude, are you not listening? And I got multiple dealerships in Bonson. One of them, general manager. Hey, thanks for checking us out. As general manager, if any troubles, give me a call. So I keep going through. So I finally get one dude who's like, absolutely, I can help you. I'll tell you what we have in the lots or whatever. And he only gives me like a little bit of the information. Show me the car and the price or what, a little bit of information. I'm like, great, here it is. Then he gives me one that doesn't fit the parameters. And I'm like, that's not fitting the parameters. So finally, I get pissed off. And I call one of them. Because I've even narrowed it down to one car. And I'm like, hey, I keep going online. I keep telling them whatever. And, oh, I got to get to the general manager and talk to him. Hello, such and such guy, general manager. What car? What he's asking, what line? Is it the Ford line or the Kia line or the
Okay.
I was like, and they tell me, we don't have general manager for that right now. It's and I go, okay, and I'm waiting. Is there somebody I could talk with? And he goes, Pete Smith,
Pete Smith,
and I go, okay, who is Pete Smith? I mean, if Pete Smith is the guy that's moving the trash cans outside, probably not going to help me buy the car. I go, okay, who is Pete Smith? The general manager or sales manager. Okay, Pete Smith's good. I do that for a while. Then it clicks where it obviously told him someone there. I go through that for 5 minutes. Finally, hey, this is John Stevens or whoever. And I go,
whoa, you're not Pete.
Hey, John, I was looking for Pete Smith. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What can I help you with? Well, I'm trying to buy a car. He said, he's German. And I go, who are you? I'm the sales manager. I thought, this goes on. This is like 10 minutes of this stuff. Finally, I'm like, okay, listen, I want to buy a car. Do you want to sell me a car?
Do you want my
money?
That's
what I said. I'm going to buy a car. And I even told him when I was emailing, I'm like, I will be purchasing a car within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This is not a scam. I'm like, would you like? And he goes, yeah, what's going on? I tell him whatever. Oh, okay, great. So I tell him, okay, I'll take this. I'm sorry about this. Yes, whatever. The guy, the one guy who responded to me, I get, and you know, bing. Stop into our dealership as I'm talking to him. So I get it worked out, right? Sends me the information. It is not the package I was specifically asking.
It's not the car that you want.
The other guy texts me. Oh, not wow. Email, texts
oh,
me now that they got
number?
My phone number.
Oh,
well, I called bad them, oh. That, which is what I was avoiding initially, right? So, and he's texting me, here's the package, whatever. That's not the actual package or whatever. So I finally get it done. I think this is what we're going to get. Great. I just need some more information. Can you send it to me? And we'll deal with it. Yes, Ms. Thompson. Okay, great. Done. I'm out, guys. I'm out. Now I just got to give him the money once I'm done. Calls me back.
Uh-oh.
You know, I had a thought.
No.
Had a thought. You know, we got
this. John, no. Steve, Pete.
You know, you're looking at
this. You're not allowed to have thoughts.
Have you considered a lease? Because
if you come down, we can explain the benefits to you.
Stop on down to the showroom. We're committed to annoying you with our showroom. So I'm not out of it yet because I still have to go in there and deal with this crap. So and I guarantee
did
you
lease or finance?
I'm in a finance, but I already had my own financing, which I told him. And so this is going on and on. I'm not out of it. I should have been out of it already. And I guarantee you what should be my 20 minutes as it normally is to just go down
seven
and sign.
Hours.
I'm going to still be stuck there and I will have fantastic stories.
Can,
of
we,
annoyance
guess,
on
can
Monday.
We get some Twitter updates?
Oh, I'm yes. Yes. Okay. That'll be today or tomorrow. Probably tomorrow.
Okay.
Got to tell you about Relief Factor before we go. Relief Factor is a great product that was designed to alleviate inflammation in your body to make your life better. Inflammation is a primary cause of pain for a lot of people. A lot of people have pain that's been going on for years and years, stuff they can't get over. Maybe you have. Try Relief Factor. It has worked for me. Some people have called us, told us, hey, you know, didn't work so well for me, but we're into the 90th percentile. And isn't it worth it for just $19.95? I mean, you're not dealing with narcotics or something that's going to cause potentially a bunch of side effects or pickling yourself with the stuff. You don't have to worry about that with Relief Factor. And it works for a lot of people. You can get that 3-week quick start pack, just $19.95. Call 800-500-8384 or go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
Alrighty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned that refurbishing a boat should include making it buoyant. We learned that apparently my mother-in-law has been part of a gap year program for the last 5 years. We learned program mental tip number 2819. Don't try to sell the stuff you stole from cops to those cops.
Oh, no.
And finally, we learned I'm off the wagon, but back riding the white horse. A regular-sized horse.
Let's clear that up, too.
Brad Staggs, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I found out the difference between a pony and a miniature horse. Nothing. They'll both get you 20 years and a bad reputation. If I ever run with the Bulls, I'm taking you and Cal and Chris, because then I just have to outrun you guys.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Cal, spin of the dial. I'm sorry, not Kirk. What, if anything, did you learn? Spin of the dials, radio style, Dallas, Texas.
I learned that I predict that Doc will be having an aneurysm this weekend for car shopping.
Yep.
I also learned in prison you want to be known for the guy who raped a full-size horse, not a miniature
That's
one.
Right.
Very important.
That's the difference.
And finally, I learned Chicago school system gap year programs include trips to Australia and how socialism works in Cuba.
Chris Cruz, what, if anything, did the listeners learn today?
TMB anonymous source tweeting out, I'm enjoying this Doc and Pony show.
Oh, dude, you did there. You know, I just realized I didn't get those new numbers on procrastination.
Unbelievable.
Oh, but we just do them Monday. It's not a problem. What does Glenn have coming up? Or what else do we have coming up on Monday? Anything good?
You know, a wide variety of cutting edge compelling.
What does Glenn have coming up on his?
You know, a whole wide variety of cutting edge.
Thank you, not Kirk. Thank you.
Isn't it nice Bill O'Reilly today or something?
Oh, it is Bill O'Reilly today.
Friday? Bill O'Reilly Friday?
Thank you. Remember the Morning Blaze today, Chris Cruz production, Six Semper Tyrannis. Good night, Steve Cannon.
Wherever you are.
Anya, now you go home.
You look so mad.
It's just going to be a hellacious weekend. It's going to be horrible.
Keep us updated. We want to know.
All right.
And by we, I mean the audience.
Twitter.
So we can make fun of you.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.